Father, we thank you for the joy that we have, the joy that is ours to come together and worship you. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of song and how the songs we sing give our hearts the vocabulary that it desperately needs to express in some feeble way our love for you and our desire to know you and follow you and serve you with our lives. And words are so inadequate, but we do choose them and we sing them. And we thank you that we can do that. Lord, in the next few minutes, we just want to turn our thoughts to your word. And Holy Spirit of God, I just invite you to take your word and remind us of things that we already know, but remind us afresh. It's so easy to become accustomed to your word that we don't even hear it anymore, just the simplicity of your word. So Lord, protect us from that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone who's ever here when you were small, afraid of the dark? Yes, had this terrifying fear of the dark when I was a kid. I was terrified of the dark. And I mentioned it before a number of months ago in a sermon that when I was raised in Nemeo in the Army. I was a military kid, and we lived in the barracks. And the barracks were the row house that we lived in. It's still standing to this day. But man, that basement was dark. It was like this concrete dungeon. It was cold and dark, and it wasn't finished. And I was terrified. I'm the last of six kids, and my brothers and sisters, not all of them, but a couple of them used to play this game. They say, "Hey, Joey," because that's what they called me back then. "Joey, run downstairs and grab this for me." So as soon as I ran down the stairs, of course, you know, the first few times I didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, they thought it was a big joke. So I'd run down the stairs, and as soon as I ran down the stairs, they would close the door, ding, and turn off the lights. And there I was, terrified. Ah! I think I touched the stairs, boom, boom, twice on the way up. And but the one thing I noticed was that when I had friends over, yeah, we'd turn out the lights and play in the dark. What's the difference? That's a question. What's the difference? Because you have someone with you. The dark isn't terrifying when you have someone with you. Funny thing, what gave me terror and dread before all of a sudden became something that was not as terrifying and not as dreary. And just having a friend there made the difference in the world. Darkness can be terrifying. Light in the darkness makes a huge difference. You ever notice when you're in pitch blackness that you look for that? You just look for, you can't see anything. If you've ever been in pitch blackness, you can't see, and your eyes are searching just for something. Where's that crack in the door? Where's that pin light? Where's that something? You know, have you ever been in a situation where it's so dark, like you couldn't see the hand in front of you if you held it up, but you're searching? I think we naturally search for light. There's something about darkness that is really dark, and we naturally search for light. And I think that's the way God wired us. I think that's the way God created us. We learn a lot of lessons from light and darkness. In the next just couple quick minutes, I just want to highlight a few of them. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Familiar to most of us, says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." I think you know, when we read that, how many times have we read Genesis 1, 1 to 3? And we read that, "And the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep." Now this is dark. This is really dark. Because in the very next verse it says, "And God said, let there be light." So just in the chronological order of things, it's really easy to miss this. When darkness hovered over God's initial creation, he had not yet said, "Let there be light." And so it was dark. It was really, really dark. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning, the first day. So I don't know about you, but I love the way God uses his creation to point out and proclaim his presence and describe his purposes and reveal his son Jesus. Christmas time is a time we talk about light, the festival of light, the season of light. Our danger is that we talk about light without talking about the source of light. And we celebrate this generic light that's kind of out there. We have, like I said, celebrations of light, seasons of light. In a lot of our public schools, we'll have this festival of light. And the most we can eke out of that is the fancy decorations and lights. So we have this festival of lights, and we hang Christmas lights, and we're kind of festive about the lights. It's possible to talk about light at Christmas without talking about the source of light itself. And we're in great danger if we do that. I love the way God talks about light and reveals light. Light and darkness are natural phenomena that God created to display day and night at creation, but God also uses light and darkness metaphorically and gives them theological significance throughout his word. All you have to do is turn through the pages of the Old Testament, and it becomes very, very clear. In the Old Testament, darkness represents judgment and distress, such as in Exodus chapter 10, when the plague of darkness fell on the Egyptians. It's not just about being dark. God never minces words. He never wastes words. His words mean something, and they're filled with meaning. So when God uses the word darkness, it doesn't just mean dark. There's something much more. We read this in the Old Testament. He also used darkness to associate his displeasure with his chosen people in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in Psalm 91 verse 6. God even used black clouds and deep darkness to mask himself from man in Deuteronomy 4 verse 11. However, nothing is hidden from God. In Psalm 139, God's word proclaims that even the darkness will not be dark to you, O God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And this is good news for us because it means that God can intervene in and every situation. Many of us here, if not all of us here, have been in circumstances, and the only word that you can use to describe those circumstances, it just feels like dark. Just so dark. My life feels so dark. These circumstances are dark. You know what I'm talking about, because as soon as I say that, your mind rushes back to that season of darkness. I didn't choose this. I didn't want this. Frankly, life sucks right now. And the only way I can describe it is this feels so dark. I feel alone. I feel abandoned. It just feels so dark. And so we use this word. But God's word tells us that darkness isn't dark to him. Even though we feel darkness, even though you feel darkness, and the only word you can describe your life right now is dark, God's not limited by that. He sees right through that. The light represented in the Old Testament likewise has several meanings. God accompanied his people through the wilderness in a fiery pillar to give them light. God himself is called my light and my salvation in Psalm 27 verse 1. Because God is light and there is no darkness in him, not even a shadow, it's only in relationship with him that our life is illuminated as expressed in Psalm 36 9. In his light we see light. So please let this sink in. We're just talking about darkness and light biblically in the Old Testament. Let this sink in. Because God is pure light, our relationship with him illuminates every area of darkness in our own life. I always say I can get through a lot of crap in life as long as I know that I'm not alone. I can play in the dark with my friends when I'm a kid, as long as I know that I'm not alone. And God sees you. He sees you. Psalm 139, summary. God made you. God knows you. God loves you. God sees you. He sees you. No matter what you're in, if you're in a season of darkness right now, the dark isn't dark to Him. It is to us, but it's not to Him. And I can get through a lot as long as I know that I'm not alone. But as soon as I feel alone, I'm duped. There's only something worse than feeling alone. And I don't know if you can catch this. Some of you might. There's a difference between feeling alone and then feeling alone in your aloneness. It's the next level. It's okay to feel alone. Feel alone, you can pick up the phone. Boy, I just aged myself. Pick up the phone. Wow. You feel alone, you can pick up the phone. You can text a friend. And you can break that loneness. But there's a different level of darkness. There's a different level of loneliness. When you feel alone in your aloneness, when you don't have that, when you, even the ones that you trust to know you and be there for you are inaccessible, and you feel alone in your aloneness. It's a different level. God is not limited by that. He sees you. His light exposes shadows cast by the things that the light of His truth illuminates in our lives. Because God is pure light, our relationship with Him illuminates every area of darkness in our own life. Some of us are experiencing darkness in our life, not because you're living in the backwash of someone else's choice, because that happens. You know, I didn't choose this. I don't want this. I happen to be living in the backwash of someone else's choice, and I don't like this. But then there's a darkness that descends on your life because you choose it. Yeah, we do. Because we're sinful beings. We have this sinful nature. And given to my own devices, I will choose sin. Without the Spirit of God speaking to me, teaching me, leading me, guide me, and a will to choose Him, I will choose sin. I talked to some years ago in the church I was pastoring. There was a former BC Lions lineman who was living in the town that I was living in. And he had long retired from the CFL. And he was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic. You know what he did for a living? He was the manager of a hotel bar. And as we sat there over coffee, he said, you know, it's like putting Dracula in charge of a blood bank. And he says, because I come to work and I choose it every day. And I can't get out of it. His dark was dark. His dark. He passed away. His dark was dark. But we choose it. Sometimes some of you here, and the darkness you're experiencing is because you've chosen it. And God sees that too. God sees that too. This is a reason for praise. And maybe the only light that you're going to experience in the next little while is just the knowledge and the knowing. You know what? In these circumstances, God sees me. I'm going to hang on to that. He sees me. God knows me. Lord, that's the hope I'm going to have to hang on to this week, that you see me. Oh, the power of God to make impossible the possible. The most life-changing and life-giving prophecy of light comes from Isaiah when he prophesied the true light, the Messiah coming into the world. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read this, "Nevertheless, there will come be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It's a great messianic prophecy. That God was going to break into the darkness of humanity. He was going to invade the darkness of humanity, wrap himself in human flesh, God in a bod. Wrap himself in human flesh and inject himself into the creation that he created. Inject himself into the darkness. And just be with us. Just walk with us. And to bring some of that, the light of God, into our darkness. How we need that light. In the New Testament, light and darkness take on expanded and powerful images. Darkness takes on the moral metaphor of sinful acts and lifestyle. However, darkness is even more than that. It's an evil power that holds people in bondage and in its dominion. Jesus is the light of the world, which signifies both holiness and illumination. He is without spot or blemish, completely holy. And it is only through the life-giving and light-providing power of Jesus that the dominion of darkness is pierced to its core. This is why Jesus is the only way. This is why Jesus is the only truth. This is why Jesus is the only life. It's only by his shed blood on the cross that anyone is set free from the dominion of darkness and brought out of darkness into his wonderful life. His life becomes our life. His truth becomes our truth, and his way becomes our way. When Jesus came in to the world, born in Bethlehem, God's plan was for him to be born at night. We read about that. Coincidence? I think not. I think not. Sure, Jesus could have been born at high noon, but he wasn't. He was born at night. Again, God does not mince words. He was born at night for a reason. In order to display and proclaim the darkness of humanity. Also, God placed the star in the east, which shone brightly to the point to point the way of God's true light to the world. God said, "Let there be light." And the true light, born of a virgin in human flesh, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, was born and given to the world. Likewise, in the New Testament, when Christ died on the cross, God's plan for him was for him to die during the day and have darkness descend on the earth. Remember that? When you're reading through the Gospels, Jesus dies on the cross. In the middle of the day, darkness descends on the earth. Well, that would be freaky. These like solar eclipses that we get where everything kind of dims a few degrees and we go, ooh, that's nothing. That's nothing. Because on this day it went dark. The lights went out. God went, boom, the lights went out. A different kind of darkness. Darkness descended 3 hours during the day. Luke chapter 23, 44 to 45 tells of this phenomena. It was about the sixth hour and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. It didn't just go like a dimmer switch. We all have dimmer switches in our home. You know, we drop the dimmer. We drop the dimmer halfway. God didn't just walk up and say, "Hey, everybody, check this out." He didn't do that. He walked over to the breaker and said, "It's my son." Poof. Boom. Different kind of darkness for 3 hours. And everyone noticed. How can we not? God used the darkness to display and proclaim to the world that the true light of the world was being taken out of the world. Ever notice that fire doesn't cast a shadow? You ever notice that fire doesn't cast a shadow? thought this was pretty cool. I don't know if it's going to work on this wall. You see the flame? You ever see that? You ever notice that? Fire doesn't cast a shadow. Why doesn't fire cast a shadow? To understand this, we need to know what a shadow is. A shadow is a dark area on a surface, right? The wall is pretty dark brown, but the shadow is darker. A shadow is a dark area on a surface. It's darker than the surface because it's coming from an object that is blocking the source of light. The shadow is coming from an object that is blocking the source of light. It's darker on the surface because of this. Thus, a shadow is an area that reveals, an absence of light. Sorry if it feels like you're in a little bit of a science class here. A shadow is an area that reveals an absence of light. In theory, if the light behind the flame is brighter than the flame itself, then the shadow of that flame should be visible. But in practice, it isn't possible because the fire itself is a very bright source of light. So the reason why fire doesn't have a shadow is because the fire is the light itself. There's a professor of a university, maybe you've heard this story, professor of a university that challenged his students with this question: did God create everything that exists? And a student said, yes, he did. Of course he did. Then the professor said, if God created everything, then he created evil, since evil exists, as noticed by our own actions. So God, therefore, is evil. Therefore, God is the source of evil. If God created evil, if evil exists, and God created everything that exists, then God has to be the source of evil. And if God is the source of evil, then he's evil itself. So this is what the university professor was throwing down the gauntlet. And then another student raised his hand and asked the professor, may I ask you a question, sir? Of course, said the professor. The young student stood up and said, professor, does cold exist? And the professor answered, what kind of question is that? Of course, cold exists. You know, we would step outside and we would go, brr, cold exists. And this is what the student asked the professor. Does cold exist? And the professor said, what kind of question is that? Of course cold exists. And the young student said, in fact, sir, I would argue that cold does not exist. Cold does not exist at all. According to the law of physics, what we consider cold is in fact the absence of heat. Cold itself does not exist. Boom, here's a lump of cold. It does not exist. Yeah, I got myself a hunk of coal. Cold in here. There, it's cold. Want some? Cold does not exist. It is the absence of heat. Anything is able to be studied as long as it transmits energy, heat. Absolute zero is the total absence of heat, but cold itself does not exist. What we have done is create a term to describe how we feel if we don't have body heat. And we call that chilly. We call that cold. And it's not cold. What it is the absence of heat. And does dark exist? He asked the professor. The professor said, of course. You think I'm a brain donor? Of course. Of course dark exists. And this time the student said, again, sir, respectfully, you're wrong. Darkness does not exist either. Darkness is in fact simply the absence of light. I don't got a chunk of dark. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Light can be studied. Darkness cannot. Darkness cannot be broken down. A simple ray of light tears the darkness and illuminates the surface where the light beam finishes. Dark is a term that we use to describe what happens when there's a lack of light. So darkness does not exist, but light does. Dark is just the word we use to describe when light is absent. And finally, the student asked the professor, "Sir, does evil exist?" And the professor replied, "Of course it exists. As I mentioned at the beginning, we see violations, crimes, and violence everywhere in the world, and those things are evil." And the student responded, "Sir, once again, I would respectfully disagree with you. Evil does not exist, just as in the previous cases. Evil is a term that we use to describe a lack of goodness. Because in the beginning, God created everything good. And then we screwed everything up. And evil is a term that God uses to describe the lack of His goodness. When we reject God, we reject goodness. We reject the one who created and defines it. Evil is simply the term we use to describe the result of the absence of God's presence in the hearts of men. After this, the professor bowed his head, sat down, and didn't say another word. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What a promise. This isn't just words in your Bible. It's a promise to you. It's a promise to you. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, God's will is for those who believe on His name to be the light of the world. Those who have been delivered from the dominion of darkness to light are to reckon themselves to live as children of the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Let me wrap up by saying this. If you are trusting in something else other than the God who made you, knows you, sees you, loves you, if you are trusting in anything else to define you, your job, your role, what you do, if you are trusting in anything else to define you, there will always be a dark side to that. There will always be a dark side to your life. If you're trusting in anything but the God who made you, knows you, sees you, loves you, there will always be a dark side. There will always be a searching for the light. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. That is the light that we are in danger of missing this Christmas if all we do is celebrate some generic festival of whateverness. So I would encourage you this Christmas, sometime this Christmas, pause the mayhem of your life. Hit the pause button. Bink! Just slow down a little bit. Find the time to say, "Oh God, thank you for the light of life that is ours in Christ." Take a few minutes to recapture that. Rethink about that. Do not let Christmas go by without thanking God for the light that He provides, the light that He is, the light that He gives in His Son, the light that He offers you through faith in what Christ has done on the cross. Father, we thank You for Your word once again. It is light. It is truth. It is life. To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Father, I pray that the light of Your truth would pierce pierce our hearts and pierce our lives. And Lord, there may be some here who have gone to church forever. They've been a Christian 2 days longer than dirt. And some of this is just that we hear this and it's just become so common. It doesn't capture our hearts. Oh God, protect us from that. Be the fire in our souls that burns out every shadow of